brought the computer through the deserted city onto the graveyard, running so fast its limbs almost fell to pieces. The zombies spent hours, days, weeks on end trying to create the perfect song. He settled with his knowledge of electronic music to make a sick beat. After an upload to Zombie Cloud and Brain Zoogle, he had become the first undead music producer, going under the name Brainquinox, followed along to stardom amongst undead. Now, I present to you the song that was conceived.
Supernatural episode, and most of the stories that you hear are based on zombies, and a lot of them are about zombies, so yeah. And now I'm going to be reading my story called Zombies on Ice. Logan was not the smartest zombie. It turns out he also wasn't the best at hockey. Logan found this out the hard way. Logan's team, the Bashers, was playing against Jockey, the other team. They were the worst in the state. Logan and his teammates had a good laugh about it before they went on the field. All the zombies were warming up, whizzing around the ice rink. A whistle blew, and before he knew it, Logan was playing. Johnny passed him the puck. Logan wheeled around, bouncing the puck on his hockey stick. He slid down the ice rink, his skates just skimming the ice. He was showing off, big time. A wall came out of nowhere, and before he knew it, he was making a beeline for it. He screamed as his head hit the wall. As his head slid off, he was carried out of the field on a stretcher. He ran back in as fast as he could. He slid past the goalie, who was watching another player. He shot the puck. It whizzed right past the goal and broke the glass on the walls. Logan watched wide-eyed as the puck and his arm flew away, never to be seen again. His team lost 1-7. Logan shook hands with the other team. One of them shook too hard and yanked another player's arm out. They were all smiling their heads off. To this day, Logan still hates hockey. Now, I'm going to be playing my song, Cloud City. I didn't make it, but it's a really nice song that I like a lot. So, yeah.
Oh, Hi, my name is Sophia Welty, and I will be sharing a story about zombies. So here we go. Brained by Sophia Welty. Okay, hi. First of all, being chased by zombies really sucks. So here's what happened. I was just playing in my backyard making dirt soup when my dog comes outside. He knocked over my dirt soup and drank all of it. Then all of a sudden he looked like a zombie. Then he bit everything in our backyard. So now I'm being chased by a zombie scooter. Okay, so now you know what's happening. Zombies are my number one fear. Why? My dad took me out to see Zombie Rider when I was like 5. My mom is out of town and my dad's getting coffee. I ran out of our backyard and into the front. The dog ran too. By the way, my dog's name is Fluff. I ran to my best friend Sierra's house. Sup, she asked. Oh, hi, Fluff. Fluff bit her? Oh, no. She looks like a zombie now. How did she not notice? She's leaving the house. She's walking to Charlotte's house. She's in Charlotte's house. I hear her screaming. Charlotte? I screamed. I see Dad's car pull in. I run into it, but when Dad gets out, he's also a zombie. Oh, come on, I say. Let's go swimming, says Dad. Since I don't want to get on his bad side, I get in the car. When we get there, I dive in. But when he jumped in, he fell apart. I take the bus home, and when I get inside the house, Mom's there. I tell her what happened, and she doesn't believe me. Then we drive to the pool, and then she blew me. She was so scared, she packed her stuff and moved to Chicago. The end. Now I will be playing a song that probably all of you know. It's called Monster Mash.
When my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
Hello everyone, this is a story I wrote.
Once there was a chicken cow. His name was Bob. He could fly. He found that out when he was a little chicken cow that he could fly. Once he found that out, he was happy, but he always wanted to play ice hockey. When he got on the ice, he totally sucked, but that's normal. Then he got better and better, and soon almost every chicken cow in the world was playing ice hockey, but there was like only 20 chicken cows in the world. But he was in Canada, and he was the only one in Canada, and Canadians are much better at hockey. Okay, and I'm the one who wrote this, and some of the best hockey players are actually from Canada, so yeah, they're really good. Anyways, to the story. So he became the best at hockey, but you must be thinking, it's cheating because he can fly, but Bob is the only flying only chicken cow that can ever fly, and he's not allowed to fly. He's still the best chicken cow to play hockey. The end.
Hello, Corey Berman, and I'm here at Nomad, and I'm going to tell a story. It's from my friend Selby, but I perfected it, and here it is. So there once was a town called Catch Lake, and there were these old train tracks running through it. Once, a long time ago, there had been trains running on the train tracks, but now there was a rumor around that these trains were overrun by zombies and they lived in them, so therefore nobody would go past the petrified tree that was right by the side of the train tracks for fear that they would get into the zombie camp and be abducted by zombies and turn into one. Well, another legend has it that there is a girl, and she is always jumping rope right after the petrified tree. And this legend is actually true, and she is called the Jumping Girl of Catch Lake. Well, one day, a brave little girl came up to the Jumping Girl of Catch Lake, and the Jumping Girl of Catch Lake, each time she jumped, instead of counting her jumps, she kept saying 100, 100, 100. So the little girl comes up to the Jumping Girl of Catch Lake, and she says, "Hi, my name's Olivia. I was wondering if I could jump with you." And the Jumping Girl of Catch Lake keeps going 100, 100, 100. Then Olivia gets her jump rope, and she starts jumping, and she says, "You know, I'm 10. How old are you? You look ancient, but I'm sure you're not really that old. Blah, 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 blah." So Olivia keeps talking, but the Jumping Girl of Catch Lake keeps going 100, 100, 100. And then Olivia starts to get frightened, and she says, "Well, how old are you?" And the Jumping Girl of Catch Lake keeps going 100, 100, and 100. And Olivia asks, "Are you 100 years old?" But before she can finish her sentence, a zombie train comes zipping along the tracks really fast. It kills Olivia, and it goes straight through the Jumping Girl of Catch Lake. And once it's gone, the Jumping Girl says 101, 101, 101 for 101 people she had killed that way.
The zombie that tried to sleep. It was bedtime for the zombies, but Glomby the zombie could not go to sleep. He tried counting sheep. He brought some sheep into his coffin and began counting. 1, 2, 3. But he began to lose track because he ate the sheep that he counted. So that didn't work. He thought... He thought he could try drinking a cup of blood. He went to another zombie in the area. While he was sleeping, he ripped out his heart and began drinking his blood. But that didn't work. Glomby got him. Glomby got a baseball bat and whacked a baseball in the batting cage really hard. The ball bounced back at him and hit him in the head. And that didn't work. He hit the ball again harder, and it hit him in the stomach. Went Glomby. That didn't work. He tried doing it 100 times. Went Glomby. That didn't work. Then he tried to run up the biggest cliff in the cemetery and jumped off it and made a big crater in the ground. Why didn't that work? He said. What he did next, he jumped into a pool of garbage and waited for a garbage truck to come by and pick him up. Less than a minute later, a garbage truck came by and picked it up and threw it in the dump, but that didn't work. He went to Crazy Dave's house and went to his plant house and asked the cherry bomb to blow him up, but he said no. But a doom shroom came up and blew him up. But that didn't work. But soon it was morning, and he didn't live happily ever after, and he never slept.
Going to be presenting something on Halloween history. Halloween came from Celtic and Gaelic festivals. Celtic and Gaelic people lived in Scotland and Ireland. The people gathered around bonfires dressed in costumes to scare away ghosts. They also played games, which later became Halloween. There are some interesting Halloween costumes. In Ireland, they gathered a bunch of nuts and put them around the fire. Later, couples would throw nuts into the fire together. If it crackled merrily, that means the couple would stay together forever. If it cracks and jumps, it means they will break up. In China, Mexico, and Latin America, Halloween time is when dead family members are celebrated and remembered. In Mexico, Latin America, it is called El Día de los Muertos. People make altars paths for spirits to travel through. In China, they light fires and burn paper boats for their ancestors. Now I would like to shout out to my family. Love you, fam! And here is a song I would like to play. It's called Werewolves of London for my mom.
Thank you. is called the Whole Foot. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Hello, my name's Nairi, and I'm going to be reading you a story I wrote called A Flying Zombie. Once there was a tiny dog whose name was Bob. Bob was a white poodle. Bob lived in Canada because that's where Dog City is. Then, one night, Bob went outside to play some ball. Bob really likes outside because he could play with his toys. Bob always wanted to play and explore. As you could see, Bob really likes his home. His family is so nice to him. They always feed him lots of chicken. Bob has the best life a dog could have. The next night, Bob went outside to play some ball, and then a terrible thing happened. There was a weird cat outside. It was a little green, and it had only one eye. And she was walking funny. Bob didn't know what to do. Then, suddenly, it came to Bob and bit him. Then, as fast as he could go, Bob ran inside and he felt funny. Then, he fell asleep. He dreamt of butterflies. And when Bob woke up, he was a zombie. But the last thing he saw was a butterfly. He couldn't get it out of his mind. Then, Bob was hungry for brains. He then walked into houses and made people think he was cute. Then, he ate them. Then, a bunch of zombies were gathered around at the zoo. All the people that were still remaining were at the zoo. And Bob was on a roof with a bunch of people under him. He didn't know what to do because he was a zombie. But then he remembered his dream. The butterfly was stuck in his mind. He remembered that the butterfly could fly, so he should be able to fly too. Then he jumped, and everyone saw him. One man said, look over there. There's a dog jumping. Look, look, look. Then everyone moved out of the way, and then he fell flat on his face and died. The end.
Hi, my name is Ben, and I am a 13-year-old who lives in San Francisco. I make music using a free platform known as GarageBand, which is available on all Apple devices. Anyway, I'm going to be playing a song for you guys. The song is called Ritual by Goblins from Mars. The song is non-copyrighted and can be used for events or anything else you might be interested in. I found this song last year on Halloween, so since this is both a great song and it came out last year, I figured why not bring it back. And now, here's Ritual. Once in a lifetime, can you possibly scared out of your wits, such as being late for school or having a tornado touch down in front of your house? But what if you're a zombie? One day in, and you would find that you just can't sleep and you're starving. This is due to both not being used to being a permanent insomniac and having to kill people for food. Once you remember you are a zombie, you'll get used to having to kill people daily. You'll get over the sound of your breathing at night, and you'll find that if you look at yourself in the mirror, you'll ask yourself, whatever happened to my old memories? You'll go through all your belongings, searching for memories, searching for yourself, thinking that if you go to sleep, a door will open in a dream, and you'll see yourself standing with more memories than ever before. But you find you can't go to sleep, not just because of stress, but because you're a zombie, and you seek to kill people. It's a job and your way of living. You don't like it, but you have to do it. You find 3 months later, a phone rings. A person says you've been evicted and you have 3 days to move. A week later, you walk to a lake and find a dog, abandoned and hungry. You've recalled a picture of a dog and a kid taken on June 17th, 1973. The kid and this zombie were best friends. One day in 2003, the 40-year-old was walking down an alley and he was hit over the head with a large object. He was found dead because of trauma 6 months later. The zombie was depressed ever since, and for the rest of his second life, after he recovers the newspaper from when he was found.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Nomadic Noise and our zombie podcast. Just so you know, on Halloween next Tuesday at Nomad, we're going to be handing out our homemade zombie zine. And our address is 2592 Folsom Street. We're going to be handing it out around 2 p.m. as a little trick-or-treat special. So if you'd like to come pick one up, come on over.
It's every day, bruh. Oh, my God. Goodbye!
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. It's every day, bro. That's copyright.
Okay.
Bring up the CD.
Sorry.
Bring up the CD.
Consensus among the people of Fall River is that she definitely did it. Cracks me up. I work in Fall River as a public defender, representing low-income individuals who have been charged with crimes. The house where Ms. Borden's alleged murders took place is actually right behind our new courthouse. Spooky. It is a bed and breakfast now. You can sleep in the very room where Abby Borden was hacked to death, if that's something you're into.
I don't know where I fall on that issue.
Nor me. I recently listened to the Boston Massacre podcast, which was awesome. I'm really glad you took the time to talk about John Adams. His defense of the soldiers is something that I and other public defenders use to explain to others why we do what we do. Everyone deserves to have their rights protected, whether it's British soldiers or everyday people who can't afford representation. So the next time I'm in court, I'll be thinking about John Adams and trying to forget the fact that the spooky Lizzie Borden house is right next to me. Thanks for the great podcasts, Jessica.
I kind of love that there's a spooky Lizzie Borden house right next to the courthouse.
Me too.
Or behind it, I guess. So I always forget that so much stuff in New England is an easy commuting distance from so much other stuff in New England. The fact that somebody commutes from Boston to Fall River kind of delights me. And the fact that people are using the story of John Adams and the Boston Massacre to explain the role of public defender to people.
Yeah.
I think that is awesome. If you would like to write to us, we are at historypodcast@discovery.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/MissedInHistory and on Twitter at MissedInHistory. Our Tumblr is missedinhistory.tumblr.com and our Pinterest is pinterest.com/MissedInHistory. If you would like to learn more about what we talked about today, you can come to our website and put the word civil rights into the search bar. You will find a timeline of civil rights. You can do all of that and a whole lot more at our website, which is howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Audible.com is the leading provider of downloadable digital audiobooks and spoken word entertainment. Audible has more than 100,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded to your iPod or MP3 player. Go to audiblepodcast.com/history to get a free audiobook download.
Grid Alternatives is a nonprofit organization and licensed solar installer working throughout California to empower communities in need by installing solar panels on low-income housing. They use a volunteer installation model that includes community volunteers, job trainees, and the homeowners themselves in a barn-raising effort to make solar accessible to the communities who need it most. For more information, visit gridalternatives.org. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio.
This episode of Stuff You Missed in History Class is brought to you by Lynda.com. You can learn it at Lynda.com, an online learning company with more than 77,000 video tutorials that teach software, creative, and business skills. Membership starts at $25 a month and provides unlimited 24/7 access to top-quality video courses taught by expert instructors with real-world experience. Listeners of Stuff You Missed in History Class can try Lynda.com free for 7 days by visiting Lynda.com/historystuff.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
So Holly?
Yeah.
When you took U.S. history classes that talked about the civil rights movement, do you feel like a lot of the focus was on the things that African Americans were not allowed to do? So like
almost being, the entirety of the focus.
Yeah. So like being barred from the schools and the restrooms and other whites only places, being kept from voting, being denied legal protections that white people really took for granted, like all of that kind of stuff feels like a big part of the context for the civil rights movement in history classes in the United States.
For sure.
So there's actually a whole other part of that equation, which is the things that only African Americans were allowed to do. There were jobs that used an entirely black workforce as a way to subjugate people and maintain a racial status quo. I only became aware that this was a thing, like, as an adult.
Yeah, me too. I definitely do not recall ever having that as part of a class.
Well, and even having taken an entire class on social movements, a third of which was devoted to the civil rights movement in college, I don't think that's something that we really got into. But today we're going to talk about one of these jobs, which was the sleeping car porter. In the 1920s, sleeping car porters unionized, and they successfully fought for better pay and working conditions. Their union, which was the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, became the first African-American labor union to be recognized by the American Federation of Labor. While the union started out campaigning for more money and better treatment for its members, it became an important force for social change during the American Civil Rights Movement.
But before we talk about the porters and their union specifically, we need to just talk a little bit about trains, because it's important to contextualize where all this was going on. So by the end of the 19th century, the railroad was basically the easiest and fastest way to travel long distances in the United States. But until an industrialist named George Pullman put his stamp on the sleeping car, the trip wasn't really comfortable, particularly if you had to travel overnight. That's actually still true today.
Yes, I've made multiple trips by train from Atlanta to Washington, D.C. that were all overnight. And it's not comfortable. I had a sleeping car one time, and that was marginally more comfortable, but still not the, like, total luxury experience that it became in the 19th century. So the Pullman Company put out its first sleeper car in 1865. These cars featured really beautiful and comfortable furnishings. There were berths that converted from seats and folded down from the walls. But what really...
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a paddle? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that any time I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitable. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayak feeling. So then all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cow, honey.
If you're looking for a personal injury lawyer in San Francisco, look no further than Francis J. Shaheda. Mr. Shaheda did an amazing job with my case. First, he informed the courts about my case that had not been scheduled or submitted yet, despite the language on the citation. I was so confused and afraid of the legal system, but he did it all for me. He communicated promptly via email with any of my questions. I was afraid of an enormous fine for a small infraction, as well as a criminal offense on my record, but he spoke to the DA to have my case removed from criminal court and put into the community court system. I am so overwhelmingly happy with the results he generated and would recommend him to anyone with legal issues. This is a personal first-person narrative because Francis J. Shaheda helped me personally, helped Mutiny Radio. Go to him for personal injury issues. You can email him at www.personalinjuryattorneyfjs.com. Again, the law office of Francis J. Shaheda in San Francisco.
Do you need an
awesome and underground space for an event? Look no further than MutinyRadio.fm. Our 30-seat flexible space can accommodate your acoustic band, birthday party, comedy show, dance party, karaoke super fun, theater event, fundraiser. If you think it, we can do it. You run the door and promotion, we run the sound, space, and podcast. Rentals available Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 to 10 at Mutiny Radio FM's performance space at 2781 21st Street in the Deep Mission at 21st in Florida. Contact Pam at pamsadai@hotmail.com for more options and booking dates. Incredible socialist prices so you can be creative in a free speech space without breaking the bank. That's Mutiny Radio Rentals every Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 to 10. Book your event now.
Trying to hurt me, but boy, how it burns me whenever she touched me. And oh, I feel so lucky.
Billy Bob, you ever want to be funny?
Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be... like in front of an audience? Like other than like squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shoot. From time to time, I've given it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes?
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dang nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
499. The Night Space brings you High Time Story Time every Wednesday night from 10 to midnight on Mutiny Radio. Listen to San Francisco's finest underground comedians read crazy stories written by me, Arden, on The Night Space. The Night Space featuring High Time Story Time every Wednesday night from 10 to midnight on Mutiny Radio. High Time Story Time Volume 1 now available on Amazon.com for Kindle and electronic download.
I'm Michael Spiegelman.
And I am Carl Not Spiegelman.
Join us every Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on MutinyRadio.fm for...
Let's watch a full-length movie on...
YouTube. We watch the best movies that... aren't they good?
Well, they're chosen by you.
Here's his theme song again. Bye.
Okay, bye. Watch a full-length movie on YouTube with Michael Spiegelman.
Howdy, mutineers. It is I, Stolowitz, Dark Lord of the Sith, and several dive bars in San Jose. Every Tuesday night from 10 p.m. to midnight, join me in my quest to escape from the occult oubliette, a world of violence, intrigue, sexuality, mysticism, magic, and leftover spaghetti. Enjoy my insane rants about leftist causes, Midwestern witchcraft, the ascendancy of Skynet, and why neo-paganism is vastly overrated. I've got guests, music, comedy, and old Alan Watts lectures from the 70s. How can you resist? You can't! I put a spell on you! Ah! MutinyRadio.fm is an official shrine of the miraculous garlic of Mount Cavalry. We are not associated with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, except on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Hope to see you there. Or hear you, I should say.
Hey, Zach Wiseman, you're a good comedian.
You know how I got good?
How did you get so great at comedy?
I got great at comedy. During happy hour.
Yeah, every Friday from 6 to 8 with new host Trina Roderick. It's where people go, and sometimes they smell bad and sometimes they don't smell bad.
Mutiny Radio made me great. Mutiny Radio made me better than you.
And that you can be better than everyone else too. Every Friday from 6 to 8 on Happy Hour here at Mutiny Radio.
But you'll never be better than me. You'll never be better than me.
You never be better than Zach. And you also, it's a happy hour, but we don't have any alcohol, so it's happy-ish. But you're going to do comedy?
I'll do comedy.
And you're going to enjoy comedy. Just be an audience. Just come. It's free.
Yeah, I just drink in my car.
You could
like
drink.
Like a fucking adult.
Exactly. Drink around the corner somewhere else. Not here. But come to Happy Hour every Friday from 6 to 8 with Trina Roderick.
Yeah, do that.
Tell me what you think about your situation. Complication, aggravation. Is it getting to you? Then tune in live every Sunday from 12 to 2 p.m. to The Edge of Insanity with myself, Paul Brumbaugh.
Kit Marie.
Brandon Ray.
And Mistress Christine.
All on Mutiny Radio. That's right, PCRCollective.org. We'll see you there.
Are you a stand-up comedian? Do you want to be in 25 shows in 5 days at Mutiny Radio in San Francisco? Well, now's your opportunity. Apply now for the Spark Presents 3rd Annual Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival, March 1st through 5th. That's 25 shows in 5 days featuring 40 comics from out of town, and one of those comedians could be you. Go to our website, www.mutinyradio.fm, and click on the submission form. Apply for the Spark Presents 3rd Annual Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival. It's only $10, and you can apply right now through November 30th for 25 shows during 5 days, all streaming live, all podcast post, all Mutiny Radio, all the time. The 3rd Annual Spark Presents Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2018. Apply now.
Sound off. I ain't scurvy shit-faced McRat. Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a paddle? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't scurvy shit-faced McRat.
Do you need an awesome and underground space for an event? Look no further than MutinyRadio.fm.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the House of Pride show live from San Francisco. We have fabulous guests today. We have Salvador Evans Tofar, Cruzin DeLu, Majid Nelson, Poon Draker. Sitting right next to me, Shugana.
Miss Shugana.
Miss Shugana, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Tweeka?
Doing fabulous. Can't wait to get into what you all doing. But right now, we're going to lead into Tony Moran, the legendary producer DJ. This is one of his number one hits, recent number one hits, featuring Jason Walker, entitled Say Yes. We're going to be talking to Tony in just a minute. But in the meantime, listen to this song. It's fabulous. We'll be right back.
Was it a dream? That feeling when I saw you.
just coming in here. Just coming in here.
Yes, indeed. That's Say Yes featuring Jason Walker, the number one hit from Tony Moran. That's actually come in one of his six consecutive hits in a row that went to number one on Billboard Club. Tony, are you with us?
I am with you, Tweeka Turner. So happy to be back. I love talking with you.
Oh, my God. I'm not worthy. Welcome back to House of Pride Radio.
I now anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Drag Queen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me introduce you to my co-host today, Miss Shugana.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, sweetheart. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. I love your music. Been dancing my titties off to it for, like, you know, 20 years. Maybe 15.
Well, thank you. That is the greatest compliment.
Yes.
True.
When anyone says flaming titties on the dance floor to Tony Moran music, that it you can't should. Get any better than that compliment.
Yeah, true.
Well, Tony, listen, why don't we just get right into it? You're six number ones in a row. What's going on? What do you think of that? Is that the first time that's happened to you in your career, or are we repeating it?
Everyday occurrence.
Well, I'll try to keep it as short as possible, but what it is that, you know, I remix songs for so many people, and I've just been so blessed that I've had so many of them, like 70-something, not all in a row, but, you know, over the course of my career, and it only becomes that much more intimate when I feel like I'm so involved with the writing process, the producing of the artist. And so six in a row are really about the fact that I was so intimately involved from the dawn of the project, and to see it reach its potential. You know, it's like they're like all those songs and those artists that, you know, they're like my children. It means so much to me.
I totally get that. So on these projects, you're actually more involved creatively as a songwriter and producer and so forth?
Yeah, because, you know, being the artist featuring another artist, you know, grants you the license to make it, to participate as the artist on an equal level, except that I'm not really required to sing it, but everything that leads up to the point that performance is done, is all a collaboration. It is a group effort, you know, between me and the artist, and we just want to be able to get the best from each other in that collaboration. So to give you another example, is like, you know, so I just did a song with Deborah Cox, who you guys know I love and adore, and we have a great relationship. So I love working on songs with her, whether I write them from scratch or whether it's somebody else's track. And her latest single called Let the World Be Yours Tonight went number one on Billboard last week. And though I don't count that to be part of like my artist sequence of number ones, again, because like Deborah's my baby, like the song is my baby, and I just get so intimately involved in this stuff, and I think that what keeps me fresh is because I love the music, I love the artists, I love the songs, I love the people on the dance floor reacting, or I love the audience letting me know that, you know, that sometimes I got to work to make it so that they will cause that effect to them on the dance floor by the time the song is released and available to the public.
Absolutely. Now, some of these hits and your discography are featured on a new release. Can you tell us about that? It's entitled Mood Swings. Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, this doesn't get it. I don't get a chance to do this all the time where, you know, as an independent record label, I invest in myself in recording, producing, getting artists and getting people to do the artwork and help me do a marketing plan, and so this album is just totally represents how I'm feeling, like not via one song, but through 28 various selections that go through the gambit of the spectrum of my feelings and of how I choose to express myself without fear, because I want, you know, if you want to, you buy the whole album and you could still listen to me doing a ballad or a you know, an alternative rock song on top of me giving you 14 songs that are meant for my core, you know, soldiers and fans out there that have been so good to me.
Yes, well, we played in the beginning of House of Pride Radio, Say Yes, one of your number ones featuring Jason Ward.